Welcome back to Beyond the Crops. We are excited to be here today. We are recording on Mary Pat's birthday. So happy birthday, Mary Pat. This will air a few days after her birthday, but you can still reach out and give her a little belated birthday love if you'd like. It's also Levi's birthday. They were born same day, same year, which how crazy is that?
I think we even determined that it was like we're about an hour apart.
Yeah, like literally within minutes of each other. Wild. States away.
That's hilarious.
Anyways, today we wanted to dive into mental mindset as a long game and how we have gone through different strategies to heal our mental health, but then how we are making sure that we're implementing those tools and those strategies that we've learned to make it a long game and to stay healthy.
Especially during these times where it feels like it's super trying on our mental health.
Yes. I have been abundantly transparent that going into planting season is hands down the hardest season for me on the farm, and hands down the season in the past that has caused me to be in the darkest places and caused the most struggles, and probably what triggered me to need therapy and medication at one point and a lot of different things. So going into planting season, I feel like I'm being more mindful of it and trying to be incredibly self-aware. And I did kind of hit a low spot last weekend, and then Mary Pat and I talked about it, and I'm like, we just need to talk about this on the podcast.
Yeah. And I think that just your attitude towards it, instead of letting these feelings overtake you and letting planting be like this doom and gloom time for you, I feel like you've become very positive about it, and it's super inspiring.
Yes, I have worked really, really hard on that.
Yeah.
My husband is also a very positive person, so I feel like that helps. Mm-hmm. And he gets very excited to get into the growing season. And I mean, it's his birthday and he's going to be out there planting. He also likes planting. He likes to either farm or fish on his birthday. So today it's farming.
What are you doing anything special for him while he's out there?
I am going to take him lunch in the field. And I said, you can pick what lunch is. And I was kind of a brat last night because he said, I want pizza with Paige's sourdough crust. Our friend Paige makes sourdough goodies and we trade beef for bread. It's like one of the greatest things that I've ever developed in a friendship. And she gives me sourdough pizza crust and I had them in my freezer. And usually that's like a weekend family evening thing we do for pizza, but he wanted me to make it, bring it to the field. And in the moment last night when I was tired and wanted to be in bed, but the dishes still weren't done, it sounded really overwhelming. So I was kind of brat about it. And he's like, forget it, Jenna. I'll just get something in town. I'm like, no, it's your birthday. I will make you pizza and bring it to the field.
You are powering through and making it special for him.
I also made his favorite dessert and he doesn't know. So that'll be a surprise.
Ooh, what is it?
So it's fried ice cream bars. I can share the link to a reel that I made a while back with the recipe. It's originally called fried ice cream pie, but I obviously tweaked the recipe and made it my own. And we just make a big double batch in a casserole pan. So it's frozen, but you have to use softened ice cream. So I picked up the ice cream yesterday and then he came home for lunch and I said, shoot, I need to hide the ice cream because I didn't want him to know. So he has this cupboard that is his and he just shoves the papers and crop reports and different things he wants. He has like one cupboard in the kitchen. It's Levi's junk cupboard. And I made him clean it out a couple weeks ago because there was stuff in there from 2016. And so there's space in there. So I shoved the ice cream in there to soften it because I knew he wouldn't look in there when he was home for lunch.
That is hilarious. Yeah. Hide it right where he should look if he needed something.
Y'all, his birthday present has been literally hanging out, like hiding in broad daylight, and he has never even seen it. So,
okay, tell me what it is.
So it's a couple of things. I got him this Our Place pan. He makes breakfast, y'all, and breakfast is very important to him. And we have a pan that from them that they really like, but they have like a griddle that will stretch across two burners.
Ooh, yeah.
And so I got him that. And then I also got him, I'm very excited to give him this. He said he's always wanted to see Whiskey Myers in concert and they're going to be at Red Rock in June. And so I bought tickets to take him to
That's so awesome. Oh my goodness. He's going to love it.
I'm really excited. What are you guys doing for your birthday? Do you even know?
Well, we started off the morning with the bike ride, which was great.
Yes.
Just boost of energy to get going. And then Josh made breakfast and we didn't have waffle mix, but he found this recipe on TikTok and made me waffles like from scratch.
Oh.
And they were really good.
Good.
And
God bless those TikTok recipes.
Yeah. And he took me a couple nights ago because we had a rain day. And we weren't sure if we'd be working today. It's, that time of year. And I always expect, like, we might be in the field on my birthday. And I'm totally fine with that. and I will just go with him wherever he is. But so he brought me out a couple nights ago and surprised me with a trip to a shoe store to get fitted for running shoes, because I want to get back into that. I haven't had anything super regular since before I had kids, but I used to run a lot.
Uh-huh.
And I found out I'm wearing a full size too small in running shoes, which was pretty eye-opening.
Yes. I have claustrophobia of the foot, so I cannot imagine having a shoe that small, but I'm proud of you for figuring that out.
It's crazy. I would highly recommend. I mean, the girls in the Peloton group were like, go get fitted. And so I did. And I was just mind blown.
And go get fitted, like go to an actual running store. Shields and Dick's don't count. I feel like the people at Shields are very well versed on the brands. I'm actually always impressed. But to truly watch your stride and your stance, I feel like you do need a running store specialist.
Yep. And this was like a small mom and pop place. And
most of them are. So nice. They're cool.
Yeah. And I was just so glad. It was like the kind of experience that I would never knew that I wanted, but yeah. I really enjoyed it. Like, it was cool. So fun, and just fun to support a small business like that, you know, that I feel like all the online shopping and stuff is taking them out. So it was really fun. I liked it.
Cool.
And he took me out to dinner that night, but tonight we are going to have some 00 steaks.
Woohoo! Because
Jenna sent me a box of steak and a bunch of other goodies, so I'm so excited. And Josh was like, really excited too, because obviously his favorite food is steak. So he was like, heck yeah, we can have steak on your birthday.
Did you see the note I left for Josh?
Yes. Don't overcook it.
Yes. I couldn't help myself.
That was hilarious.
I trust you, Josh. Do not mess up Mary Pat's birthday steak.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I'm excited though. It's fun. It's fun to have. We haven't been like full blown planting on my birthday in a long time. Mm-hmm. So
we really haven't either on Levi's birthday. A few years ago when he turned 30, I had planned a surprise 30th birthday for him, and it's the best surprise ever, you guys. He, first of all, we were like full blown in the field, and my father-in-law and my mother-in-law were like, Jenna, how are you going to get him out of the field? And I'm like, I honestly don't know. It's going to be a game time decision, but I'm going to figure it out. And we joked, I'm like, I don't know. I might have to get naked. I don't know. We'll see. But it rained, and so he couldn't be in the field that day. So that was a blessing. So I'm like, shoot, I can't have him hanging around the house while I'm getting stuff to town to set up for his party. So I had one of his friends take him to Wings and just like a relaxing afternoon. And then he came home and took a nap. And I'm like, okay, buddy, we've got dinner plans. And he's literally taking a nap as I know people are showing up to his surprise birthday party. So I told him, I'm like, Logan and Shelby want to go meet at Fox Hollow, the golf course, and have a drink before we go out to Mexican food, because that's what he thought. So then we get to the golf course, and there's a sign on the door that says closed for a private party. And Levi said, Jenna, we can't go in. There's a private party. And I'm like, no, there's like, Logan said we should go in. Like, we need to go inside. But it's a private party. What is it? I don't want to go in if we're not supposed to be there. So it's his party. And we're like arguing at the door so I can get him into the door. And he walks in and they start singing happy birthday. And he was so shocked. I think it literally took him through the birthday song to realize it was his party. I was like, this is your party. Hilarious. It's your birthday. And
I remember that because both you and Josh did surprise parties for us.
And I think that's maybe when we connected the dots that
yes,
Levi and Mary Pat were born on the same day.
Yeah, because we also had like just enough rain to get us out of the field that day. And that's why it seems like we always get a little start, but then for some reason we get this like little rain spell, and then we get really going in early May and late April. It's like, whoa, okay.
It's actually kind of cold here, and our agronomist told Levi last night, definitely don't be planting any irrigated today, but he is going to tackle some dry land. But we definitely needs to warm up a little bit before we start planting irrigated corn.
Yeah, we had really prime conditions for like 2.25 days, and soil temperatures were perfect. Moisture was perfect. It got colder, but we don't get super worried about that because we've had like literal snow on top of crops before and it's been fine. But we also cold germ test all of our corn seed to make sure that
that is cool that you guys do
like,
that.
We don't plant anything that's under like a certain percentage of cold germ. Probably like under 90 we try to avoid. So
really cool. So let's do a little bit more farming talk, and then we're going to jump into what we wanted to talk about today. We want to bring a farm word of the day to the podcast because there are a lot of terms. Me too. We're such nerds. We can't help it, you guys. And there's so many terms that are still maybe even confusing to me. Mary Pat's been around a lot more, but yeah. Okay, so we did an episode on tillage, but there are some things we didn't cover. So the farm word of the day is plow. Do you know the actual definition of plow?
No, but there's a lot of definitions out there. Plowed.
That's what I thought. I just caught what you said. So the plow, the noun, is a large farming implement with one or more blades fixed in a frame drawn by a tractor or animals used for cutting furrows in the soil and turning it over. So that's what separates a plow from other like vertical tillage or the, all of the tillage that we talked about on our tillage episode. I actually can't believe out of the four of us, none of us thought to bring up the plow. Probably because we hardly ever use it. So the different, the tillage we talked about, kind of like what Josh said, it just kind of like, what did
moves
he say?
And shakes.
Like, ruffles it or moves and shakes it. Moves and shakes the soil on top. The plow actually lifts the soil up and flips it over. And so that's where erosion can happen and it can blow off a lot easier. And the only reason we would ever do that is if there was like really, really hard ground from a field we took over that was farmed by somebody else and had been like corn on corn for 15 years or something like that. There's like very rare, rare circumstances where we would ever plow.
Yeah. And it's like, I think there's different kinds of plows too and different levels of aggression, but the moldboard plow, I feel like, is the one that you're really talking about right now. And it's only like one line because that's all the tractor can pull because of how much dirt it's moving. And the only time I've ever seen one around here is there is one guy who does it quite often. But then there's this little like old tractor club. So all these old guys get their like open station tractors from the 1950s and they'll like put a three-board moldboard plow on the back of it and they like go out and have fun. It's like a tractor club. That's the only time I've seen it.
Yeah. That is awesome. I feel like too, if there's somebody's taking a pasture, which happened a lot in 2012 in my area and turned it to crop ground, they would have to like plow that over so that you could plant into it. So the farm word of the day is
plow. There we go. I like we started off strong there. Okay, so we really wanted to talk about mental health because Jenna and I kind of had a conversation last weekend. Both of us were struggling with different things. But Jenna, you kind of shared online too some of the things that you did to help yourself through. And that's kind of what we want to get into is the mental health through these struggling times.
So like I've said, this part of this time of year is hard for me. And I am very self-aware of that. And I'm very intentional about my thoughts and using all of the tools consistently, like my 5-minute journal, exercising, getting outside, trying to eat well. There's a lot of daily things that you can do to increase your mental health. And they're little tiny things that can be so easy. And I feel like a lot of them I resisted forever, like journaling, even the 5-minute journal. It took me forever before I finally was like, okay, I'll try it. I thought I could just tell myself in my head things that I'm grateful for, but it makes a difference writing it down, thinking about it, reading it later, and then forcing yourself to circle back later and think of the highlights of the day. Think about something that you learned that day. It's crazy how a tool so simple can be beneficial. I also resisted just journaling in general, just writing down your thoughts. I got super overwhelmed last weekend. I think it's like a combination of things. Planting was coming. I feel like we maybe never fully recovered from the hell that January was for us. Like it was so hard, you guys. I know we talked about it on here, but it was definitely the hardest week that Levi and I have ever navigated. Like as far as on the farm, taking care of animals, that types of things, like the stress was real. And we, in the moment, was like, yeah, we're doing great. We're getting through it. But then I think looking back, it was like, holy cow. That was hard. And maybe we need to process that a little bit more. So I feel like that started bubbling up. And then I had just shared the podcast about my health journey and also then Stetson having Lyme disease and everything that was triggered with him. And I shared his story. But then once I thought back through it, there was a lot of it that I forgot to share. And I felt kind of bad about like maybe people needed more transparency. I was kind of overthinking that. And then I was a guest on another podcast telling the same story, which I was so happy to do. I've been wanting to share this story forever. But Stetson and I had some really hard years in there before we figured out what was going on with him. And it took us a lot of growth and a lot of healing to be in the such good place that we are today. And the month of March of this year was the best month that we've had with Stetson in literal years. Mm-hmm. Like he was doing so great with his remedy. Most of his symptoms were improved. His tics were gone. He was so obedient and fun. And it was just such a great month. And then shortly after I shared our health journeys, he kind of started, we call it in homeopathy, they call it a backslide, where some of his symptoms start to pop back up or the tics start to come back. He gets really emotional and anxious. Bedtime's a nightmare. Just those kind of things started coming back. And I think I had like all of this stuff happening. And then that was like the triggering point that kind of sent me over the edge with planting coming. I kind of used the analogy to describe it. Like I had too many pots simmering, and then one of them simmered too, got too hot, and it just boiled over. So it was just, I guess, good for me to learn and recognize if I leave those pots simmering, they will boil over eventually. So maybe I should do better at dealing with those things in the moment. Like maybe we should have processed January right after it happened instead of just, oh, we made it through. We're good. And so it's just a very eye-opening experience. And in that, so I was so overwhelmed. I sat down after my workout that morning. I started bawling on the bike. Exercise can be like really releasing of emotions, which is great. And it just, that's the moment I boiled over. And I felt like I was in my head about a lot of friendships. Like, was I saying things that were offending people? Was I, it was exhausting. Just me way overthinking. Exhausting is right. And I boiled over. And so after I was done exercising, I just sat down for the very first time and truly journaled, like wrote the date, wrote how I was feeling, all the thoughts and questions that I had in my head, and wrote it down. And I felt so good after just writing it. And I was like, wow, I've been resisting using this as a tool for like 5 years. And it was very beneficial to just like write it down.
Yeah, there's something so healing to just like get it off out of your head and write down what you're thinking. And honestly, sometimes if you're overthinking, you can simplify it by just writing it down.
Right. And then Levi came upstairs and he's like, I was calmed down at like not crying at that point. And he was like, are you okay? I thought I heard you crying. And then I just started bawling again. I'm like, I just think I'm a bad friend.
Oh my goodness.
And he was like, what is going on, Jenna? And I obviously I have a great husband. I confided in him as well. And so it is great to have that person in your life that you can talk to. But I feel like I was able to journal, and then I was able to go outside and walk around barefoot, do some grounding, do some push-ups, get my heart rate back up, just watch my kids play. It's crazy how healing that can be as well.
Absolutely. You've really been like using the tools in your toolbox and what you've learned in the past to help yourself. Yes. And like, I don't know, is this something that you feel like would have taken you out a lot longer in the past? Like these?
Oh yeah. I don't feel like I would have coped with it. I would have just like kept like trying to put the lids on the simmering pots. Like, it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Yep. I hear you.
And breathing too. There's I can't remember. It's like Huberman Lab. Is that the famous psychologist that studied this? There, if you take a big inhale in through your nose, like another quick inhale at the top, and then exhale out slowly through your mouth. Doing that a couple of times can reduce your anxiety by like up to 65%, an insane amount. I've actually taught that to Levi and to the boys too. And kids are little and they don't really know how to deal with their emotions yet, but it's crazy how even my 3-year-old can cope by doing that. So such simple breathing exercise.
Yeah. Hank hasn't totally grasped it yet, but it's something that I use all the time with him. And Josh is starting to use a little bit too. We were actually doing it last night and he was like, why do you guys have to breathe like that? And we said, so that we don't explode. We're trying to like regulate our emotions and be good parents, you know?
It's hard. I have another friend that's a mental health therapist, and she taught me this thing where you can put, it's going to be hard because I know y'all can't see me, but you put your hand out and you have your kid put their hand on your hand. Like, so your hands are touching, and then you take, like high-fiving. Yes. Thank you. And then you take your finger and you start tracing your hands, starting with your thumb. And then you go like inhale, going up your finger, exhale, going down, inhale, going up your finger, exhale, going down, and go through all 5 fingers. And doing that with your kid, I think that helps them do the breathing because they can see your finger moving. They're like involved in it physically, and it makes more sense to them for the inhale and the exhale as you go up and down your fingers. I feel like that also helps, especially with younger toddler age kids.
I need to try that.
And then when you're parenting too, and you're like the rage is building and you want to snap, it's good to like see their little tiny hand on yours and then just breathe with them. It's beneficial for both parties.
Yeah. Oh, the little hands. That just.
The little hands. They get me every time. They're always dirty, but dang it, they're cute.
They are so cute. Yeah. So I don't really know where this conversation is going. No,
sorry. I just kind of were vomiting. That's
okay. I wanted to ask you more because do you think that Stetson's like also feeling anxious because of how much he loves being on the farm? Do you think that has anything to do with him?
It's hard for me to make assumptions like that because I don't know what he's thinking, and I can start to get him to talk about it, but it is not a secret that sometimes it's a battle to get him to go to school because he truly wants to be on the farm and he truly thinks the farm will function better if he is present, and it's not fair that he doesn't get to help and all of these things. So we have a lot of conversations about, I know you want to farm and I love your work ethic, but you have to go to school first. You have to know how to read. You have to know how to write. You have to know how to do math and all of these things. So we have a lot of questions around that. I feel like he is getting the summer itch. It's nice outside. It's staying lighter later at night. That's definitely probably factors into maybe for him as well.
Hard for everyone. I mean, it's so fun though. Like the weather warming up and getting to be outside, it's honestly getting me so pumped for summer.
It is. Same. Stetson had track practice last night and I was driving home and I said, look at all the green rolling hills. I just makes me so happy.
Yes. I start to get anxious this time of year because I want to do it all and like be it all. I want to be like there for my kids. I don't want them to have to be at daycare all the time because I want them to be outside with me. I want them to be on the farm with us. But I've also really been trying to like focus on how that affects them, because this time of year, like if I am helping on the farm, they just got off of winter too. So like, they're good with me in the tractor for a couple hours, but then they want to run around and get dirty. They don't want to sit in a cab for very long. I think it's easier in the fall because they're like, we've been outside for how many months now and feeling a little bit better about sitting. And also harvest, there's just a lot more moving parts. So they have...
There's a lot more to watch.
Yeah. So yeah. Tillage.
Planting's isolating, let's be honest.
It is. Everyone is separate. It's hard. And I definitely know last spring I pushed it too much. So I've got better boundaries, but just the first couple days of this season where I was out, I was like, I think I was overthinking, like, okay, I want to be out here. What are the kids doing? How is Josh doing? And Josh didn't have AC in his tractor for one whole day, which was like absolute torture for him. So I got him water like right after I got the kids from daycare, but I kind of felt bad. Like if I wasn't in the tractor, I could have helped him sooner. I just do all these things to myself when I'm out here. I don't know
why our minds do those crazy thought circles, but they do. And so I think that's where our tools come in to combat that and to kind of check ourselves and to just recognize what does help us feel better.
Yep. So I have been now like in a more consistent workout routine than I ever have been since before I had kids for like a month, maybe a little over a month now. And I'm feeling so much better. It's helping me, and it's just, I feel more energy. I'm sleeping better, more flexibility, like having more energy for my kids, really. And that's been in my mind every time I'm doing something that's hard. I'm like, this is so that I can be more mobile for them when I'm older.
Right. Absolutely. Yep. Exercise is so healing, so liberating, and it is a lifelong thing. And I like that you pointed out flexibility. My first degree was in nutrition and exercise science, and exercise physiology was one of my all-time favorite classes. And I remember the professor saying over and over again, if you take anything from this class, let it be that as you age, flexibility is the most important exercise-related aspect of your health. It'll help you prevent falls, help you stay more active, keep your muscles, like prevent atrophy. So flexibility is so important. Yes, I'm all for the cardio and the lifting too, but we got to stretch, y'all.
Yeah. And I'm noticing, like, as I'm doing stretches, wow, I'm not as tippy as I was in the beginning, or it's just feeling so much better. So I don't know. And I knew that would happen because I did used to like put my health, physical health, in a priority before I had kids, but it just went so far to the back burner for me. And I was one of those girls on social media who was like, oh, I'm never going to share about like what I do physically because like, I don't want to put that pressure on people. And I like, whatever, it's hard to fit it into your life if you don't feel like you have make it a priority, you know? So I was like, oh, I'm never going to share about that. But I've been feeling so good that I'm like, okay, fine. I'll like sprinkle it here and there because it's been so helpful.
It is hard to fit in, but it's become a non-negotiable for me. One time I heard somebody say, well, rephrase that. Instead of saying, I don't have time for that, say out loud, exercise is not a priority of mine right now. And that's a real gut check on anything that you think you don't have time for, phrasing it as that is not my priority right now. Because the truth of the matter is, yes, our lives are crazy, but you can find time for the things that matter to you. And being physically fit and healthy and active is so important to me. And I know it helps my mental health tremendously. Mm-hmm. Levi's recognize it too. The whole family does better if I get a workout in before everybody wakes up. So he encourages that and helps if the boys wake up and I'm still exercising. But phrasing things like that, that you want to make a part of your routine, but you're saying, I don't have time for, saying that is not my priority right now, that feels really icky, then maybe you just need to really check what your time is being used at. How much time are you spending on apps? How mm-hmm. much time are you scrolling? How much time are you spent doing things that maybe don't matter as much as these other things?
So true. Like you said, for literally everything. I actually hate the I don't have enough time excuse, because it's like, no, you do. It's just not a priority. And that's okay. Right. Because you get to choose, how you spend your time, and you get to choose what is your
priority.
Uh-huh. And knowing that you have control over that gives you the power to really think about how you're doing it and how you're spending your time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah.
I feel like it's been a good thing for Levi and I to think through. I mean, Levi's a workaholic. There's just no denying that. It's not necessarily a healthy thing, but it's when you live on the farm and you're the next generation that wants to prove to the older generation that you're going to do better and work harder. Like, it's a hard thing to combat. Like, you can't just check out. Like, we can see everything outside our window. We can see what needs fixed. We can see the cows that are out, like all of the things. And so my husband is very busy. I'm not saying that's a good thing, but I feel like sometimes I get caught up in comparing what my husband does to other people's mm-hmm. husbands. And I can almost get envious if somebody has like a random Saturday at home with their husband just chilling. And that's something that I have to check myself on. But then also too, use that same tool. Like, okay, we are doing so much farming right now. What are our priorities? Do we need to phrase it that like pausing to spend time with our family is not our priority? It is our priority, but like, it's easy to say it, but are we actually doing the actions? Like, we can talk a mean talk, but I want to walk a mean walk too. Mm-hmm. So I feel like using that phrase has helped really check our time.
Exactly. When you're communicating with your spouse and what your family needs too, I feel like that's huge. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm also, I have not been consistent with my 5-minute journal, but it does help me.
I'm not 100% consistent. And sometimes I'll do the morning part and then I'll forget to do the afternoon part and then I'll circle back in 3 days.
I was going to say one thing I have been more consistent with is our church has these little devotionals that they're like quarterly devotionals that they have out, and mm-hmm. I can link them because they are free. It's Our Daily Bread. If anyone uses it, let us know, because that'd be kind of cool to connect on that. But basically it's like, there's no theme to it. It's just everyday life kind of devotionals. And I really like it because it's helped me. If I start my day that way, I feel like whoever I'm communicating with, I'm just checking myself better. Like, how am I responding to this person? Am I responding out of love? Or am I doing this because I got worked up for some reason? You know, and it's been super helpful. And like I said, very different topics. But like, the question today was, how have you seen God bring good out of difficulty in your life? What can you thank him for today? So like, just even starting your day with a question like that, okay, puts things into perspective to start it differently than you would if you just jumped on Instagram right away at the beginning of the day.
I saw something once, like, if you're checking your phone before you're checking your heart with Jesus in the morning as a Christian, like, maybe you should reevaluate your morning routine. And that kind of stuck with me, because you can get sucked into Instagram fast. But when you've started with Jesus, it totally can reframe your perspective on the day. And maybe how you might react to things that might be triggering on social media. Yep.
I've had to check that too. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, I wanted to make sure I said that because it's been something really helpful. And just centering the day around that. And it's been good. And like I said, I do struggle this time of year. And it's maybe, I think all of our struggles are different for just the different responsibilities that we have, because yes, you and I are both farm wives, but we have different responsibilities. Just like whoever else is listening out here, even if you don't farm, spring gets busy with a lot of other stuff. So trying to balance your schedules and your priorities, it can be a lot. So
it can be a lot.
Just like,
and I was verbalizing that it was coming and it's my hardest season and I'm doing so good, but then I wasn't actually doing the extra work, using the tools to truly prepare for it. I was talking about it, not walking about it, and it caught up with me. But I think there's like growth in recognizing those feelings. And so I allowed myself to then work through those feelings and pivot instead of being paralyzed by them. Cause I feel like in years past, I would just get paralyzed by those feelings and the anxiety would build, the overwhelm would build. And then it would just be like, this is the worst season ever. What just happened to the last 6 weeks mm-hmm. of my life? So that's where the growth is coming in. That's where this mental mindset as a long game thing really came through for me mm-hmm. and Mary Pat.
Absolutely. And knowing when you need to just ask for that extra help too, like, mm-hmm. or talk with your husband about it or whatever, like a friend sometimes.
And in the overthinking, I felt like I thought I offended a friend. And so I actually texted her and I said, I'm so sorry. Nothing was said with ill intentions. I'm really sorry if I offended you. And she said, oh girl, no, I was not offended. And she said, from my own experience, most of the time, everyone's so absorbed in their own things, they don't really think twice about something somebody mm-hmm. else said. And that definitely gave me some peace. And then she said, on another note, to steal a line from Kaya, Coach Kaya, she has a podcast on Instagram, Kaya Twisselman. What if it's not a problem? What if you are firm in what you believe and you're not afraid to share it with grace? If someone's offended by it, then maybe it's a them thing, not a mm-hmm. you thing. So that helped too, because I thought through, I feel like I haven't been saying anything that I don't believe in or not truly rooted in. And so that was just, I guess, a good way for me to check my thoughts too and not let that devil creep into my thoughts and think that I'm doing so bad or something.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Through like the last week, you know, there's just some things taking up my mental space too. And one of the things I thought about was like, our kids, what are they concerned about every day? I mean, they're not caring, or they're not thinking about what people are thinking of them. Our kids are little enough so that they aren't thinking about that for the most part. Right. Maybe Stetson is by now, but like mine aren't. They're thinking about like, right. what's my next snack going to be? Is my mom going to let me wear the pink sparkly shoes because I want to, even though it's muddy outside? Like these mm-hmm. kinds of things, like they're only caring about a very small amount of people in their small, tiny circle. Like, what would it be mm-hmm. like if we could just put our brains into that perspective for a couple days and let our minds just take a break? I don't think it's possible.
I don't think it is either. And I love little kids, and it's something that I recognize, like the innocence, and they don't care, and we are their entire world. Like, at what age does the world taint and ruin that? Like, mm-hmm. I know it's coming for our kids, so that's just a sad thing to think mm-hmm. about. Like, I just want to bottle it up and let them stay innocent and true to their values and their confidence in themselves mm-hmm. forever.
One little line that I had written down in the notes, and I honestly can't remember where it came from. It was possibly my devotional, but I was having a really hard day, and I was like, just trying to fix it myself, you know, how can I fix this myself? And the words popped out at me, and it was, my needs are God's concern. Mine is simply to follow him. We just like think about that on these really hard days where we just like feel mm-hmm. like we're scratching ourselves up a muddy wall of a pit that we can't get out of? Like, can right. we just think that way?
Even if you're in the moment, it can be so hard to just want to give it to the Lord, but you can even just stop and say a simple prayer and just be like, Lord, help me. I don't know how, but help me. I want to give it to you. Help me mm-hmm. give it to you.
Yeah. It does not have to be complicated.
Speaking of prayer, I still do cold plunge, and I don't do it every day because I did want to start sleeping in a little bit. 2 mornings a week. So I cold plunge Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So I did today before our workout. And in that, I always like pray in that 5 to 10 minutes that I'm in there. And I feel like that's also been a great tool to start my day and to really strengthen my faith and to really just be centered on that throughout my day.
That's next level stuff.
The cold plunge.
Yeah, I have not tried that yet. But we're about to get a stock tank here for our cattle, so.
Whoop, whoop. Yeah, just in time for it to warm up and it be a bathtub instead of a cold plunge.
We could buy a couple bags of ice.
Mm-hmm. I do love a good cold plunge. I can't help myself.
Last week we talked to Kylie about investing in ourselves. And during that whole conversation, one thing that I couldn't stop thinking about was like, I feel like women are, maybe this is a generalization I'm making, but I feel like this is a safe space. So women, I think, are more comfortable stepping out of their comfort zone and investing in themselves initially, like without being pushed by somebody else. But the whole time I was thinking mm-hmm. like, man, I've done these things, but I've never really encouraged Josh to, or he's never really brought any ideas to me. And honestly, I don't even know if there's something out there for guys in agriculture, like the things that we've done. But
Like, do guys go to retreats? I don't think it's a thing.
No, but they go out, like, guys weekends once in a while. Like, you know, stuff like that, which I do encourage if there's ever anything that he wants to do. But sometimes I feel like, just like Levi, he's a workaholic and would rather be home working on projects than going and doing something for himself. Because it's almost like he feels like if he doesn't do that, then he's going to be behind. And that's another, like, that's just me talking for him. I can't say if that's actually true.
His thought process.
But anyway, I think that it would be, for us, like, really good to encourage our husbands to take those kinds of steps for themselves too. And I was thinking about that.
I agree.
It's off topic, but I was thinking about it.
So, like, as women, we're so willing to do that and make that investment and see the benefits for our family. And Levi definitely saw the benefits for me and our family that helped when I was seeking therapy. And I was doing it regularly for several months, but now it's just kind of when I feel like I need a check-in. Like, on Saturday when I got really overwhelmed, I was like, I'm going to make an appointment because maybe I need to talk through things. I did talk through a few things, and it's crazy how much better I felt. I feel like our husbands get stressed, they get through it, and then the next day, like, oh, I'm fine, I don't need to talk to anybody.
I also agree that Josh has seen the improvement that I've made, or just, like, the personal development. Not, like, improvement, but I've just developed, like, as a person and how I think about things.
Right.
So I don't think that he'd be completely opposed to it now because I've done that. But I think that it takes more encouragement. You know, like, if he were to bring it up to me, I'd be like, heck yeah, do it. You know, like, that kind of thing. But
absolutely.
Yeah.
So we shared some of the tools that work for us and how we've shifted our mindset to have the tools so that when we do get stuck, we can pivot and not be paralyzed. And I think in the show notes, we can share some links to some of the tools or other podcasts that we've listened to. That I know Ashley Machado has a podcast that goes through some mental health tools that you can start using immediately. And so maybe we'll just link a few of those things that have helped for us. Also the 5-minute journal. And I guess just use this episode as encouragement to shift your mindset and think about, you invest in your mental health, not like you have to spend money on it, but your time and your effort in refining those tools to help you truly thrive through your family and keep your mind in check, because it's amazing the growth that can come from that, both personally and for your family and for your farm or whatever it may be.
And your time is more valuable than any amount of money. Time that you can spend developing these types of tools for yourself and investing in yourself time-wise is more valuable than any kind of monetarily amount. So,
and time is a gift. And how are you spending your time? Because a few years ago, I was spending a lot of my time anxious and overwhelmed and overthinking things. And that was no way to live. It was bad on my physical health, my mental health, my emotional health. And so now I feel like since I've gone through the steps and done the work, my time is just used so much more beneficially for my family. And I'm not in these overdrive cortisol levels all the time and always running on stress fumes, you know?
But this, I think in this episode, we definitely shared, like, there's times where you're feeling great and there's times where you start to slip. And once you can recognize that a little faster and use your tools quicker, you're not in that bad place as long. And it's just, it's huge for you and your family.
Yes. Yeah. I used to definitely unpack in the bad place. And now I feel like I can just, nope, we're just going to keep on traveling. We're not unpacking. I love here. That.
That's a great analogy. Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope that you found some value or some inspiration in this episode. And we truly appreciate the time that you take to listen in every week.
I know that not all of the listeners are farm wives, but for those farm wives that are out there, good luck this planting season. You got this. We can get through it. It's a beautiful gift to be able to plant a crop and watch it grow and then harvest the benefits from it in a few months. And for everybody that's not a farm wife, I know everybody has their own busy seasons and they look differently. Like, you got this too, girl.
You got it. And we will see you next time.